And today we've got an expert on the line, writer, producer, presenter, co-host of podcast TV Gold and Australian TV historian and radio icon, Andrew Mercado is on the air. Andrew, have I got you?
I'm here. Good afternoon.
How are you going?
I'm pretty good, thank you.
Oh, look, I'm so excited to chat with you. As I said, I am a massive fan of soap operas. Like I was mentioning to our lovely producer, Charlotte, who have you've been in contact with, that I don't watch them for me, it's not an appointment every week, but when I get roped in, oh, I am in there. You're a TV historian who obviously specializes in soaps, and yeah. You were recently in Ireland for the UK soap opera Hollyoaks' 30th anniversary. What makes a soap like Hollyoaks able to withstand 30 years of cultural shifts?
Pretty amazing, isn't it? There aren't many other shows on TV that are like soaps, because soaps are on sometimes 5 nights a week. Some of them have cut back now to 3 nights a week or whatever. But the point is, I have been watching, not regularly every day, but off and on, I always dip in and out, Days of Our Lives for the last 50 years.
Wow.
And you know, what other medium can you watch the same show and see the same people? And you know, when I put it on today, I look at it and I go, oh, there's Julie. She's still looking good. I've been watching these actors for 5 decades.
Wow.
And the other really amazing thing about long-running serials is that they can, yes, TV should be about entertainment. And you've just mentioned that soaps are often about romance and weddings and babies and all that type of thing. But within all that entertainment, you can cover amazing social issues and in real time.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was over in the UK, I went onto the set of Coronation Street, which is the longest running TV drama in the world. It's going to turn 65 in December.
My goodness gracious.
That's a long time for one show to be running. And you know, they told me about two storylines they were doing. They're doing a dementia storyline with a character who's reasonably young. So that's going to be a storyline that's going to run over several years to show her sad decline. But they're also doing a storyline about coercive control in a gay relationship.
Wow.
So you're going to see over 6 months how one man is just going to really slowly and methodically break the other person down bit by bit by bit, slowly over 6 months, till that person suddenly realizes that they're not in control anymore and it's too late. And no other TV show or movie has the time to tell those stories in real time like that.
Totally. And I mean, you know, as an audience member, you're watching this unfold and you can see just how easy it is to be controlled like that, or to end up in a situation very similar like that, how a relationship and the signs that, you know, you wouldn't really think twice about 6 months, like a month in, 6 months later, it's a massive indicator of something, much larger issue. So you're totally right. Soaps do give you that ability to be able to follow along stories in real time. You know, coming back to Australia, you had your 2023 documentary, Outrageous. You know, it explores the queer history of Australian TV in the 70s with, you know, particular focus on the show Number 96. How important is it for the queer community in Australia to, you know, in your opinion, understand their history in this way? And how important is genuine and consistent queer representation in TV shows?
It's massively important, because there'll be a lot of people listening to this now that will be completely unaware that back in 1972, Australian TV, through the show Number 96, was the first country in the world to put positive depictions of LGBT people on TV. Now, this was a phenomenally popular show. It was per capita the highest rating TV show in the world. It was screened all over Australia on every regional channel. It was on 5 nights a week at 8:30. And within that show, that was breaking a whole bunch of social taboos about subjects like rape within marriage and drugs and things like that. Within that, they had a lawyer who was a gay man who was pretty straight acting. You couldn't pick that he was gay by just watching him on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But he was presented as somebody that was accepted by his community, who contributed to his community and was an all-round good guy, because as a lawyer, he got to help everybody in the show that had a problem.
Yeah.
And for me, as a 10-year-old kid who knew he was gay but couldn't tell anybody, it had an enormous impact on me to be able to see a positive depiction of a gay man on TV for 5 years, of very formative years of my life.
Yeah.
And I know that when I talk to other queer people that grew up in the 80s and the 90s, and they'll say to me, I never saw a gay person full stop on TV unless they were dying of AIDS.
Mm.
And you just go, oh, my God. And that's where you hear things like the guilt, the shame and all of that. These things I never experienced because I was fortunate enough to grow up in that era of the 70s when we were just really wild and out there and up for putting these things onto TV.
It's amazing. It's so important. And that's fantastic. Moving on, you know, in your sign-off article for Media Week in 2024, you mentioned that you were going through all 445 hours of the TV show The Box for another documentary.
Yes.
That's a lot of TV. Having done both this documentary and Outrageous, how do you take these shows with so much content and condense them into a documentary? What's your process there?
Well, luckily, the documentary I made about The Box was kind of a bit of an overview on the show. They were releasing it on DVD. We were getting to the last volume. And, you know, to think, my thinking on it was that the O10 network back then, the first time they were ever number one in the ratings was when they had the back-to-back programming of Number 96 and The Box at night, two sexy adult-only serials that took them to the top of the ratings for the first time. But, you know, several years later when they end, everyone sort of forgets that this is the show that saved the channel, brought in millions of dollars advertising revenue. So I thought it was time to sort of go back to The Box and go, well, let's actually look at what they achieved over those 3 years to put its place in Australian TV history. Number 96 is a little bit different, though, because Number 96, being the first show of its kind, it actually did its own documentary when it reached 1,000 episodes.
Right.
So whilst many of those black and white episodes were thrown out, some of the clips from those black and white episodes were saved within this TV special. So we can still see historically what they achieved.
Amazing.
But see, as a historian, I always think it's really important that you've got to look at what came first.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just look at things in the bubble of today and go, wow, that show's really pushing some boundaries. You have to go, yeah, but who pushed the boundary first?
Totally.
That's always my question. What's happening on TV today is great, but gee, I wonder who did that first.
Exactly.
And I don't think that Australia gets enough credit for what we did first in this area in the 70s, when the Brits and the Americans, only gay people they ever put on TV, were victims of blackmail or perverts or criminals. And here we were in Australia saying, no, 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 no. Even though homosexuality was illegal, you could watch Australia's most popular show and see really incredible queer people contributing to their community. And nobody else in the world did that except for Australia.
That's fantastic. That's a really, I personally didn't know this before starting our conversation. And it's not often that sometimes I get to say that I feel a bit proud to be an Australian. And right in this moment, that sounds great. And that's fantastic. I've really, really enjoyed chatting with you. And I've heard that, you know, your documentary Outrageous is actually going to be re-released as a book. Is there anything else that you wanted to tease or announce? Anything else in the works?
Well, yeah, I'd also, whilst Outrageous is at the printer now and we've got a few months to kind of put it all together and find some photos, the really exciting thing that I did over the last few months was Number 96 is now streaming for free on broly.com.au. That's Broly, B-R-O-L-L-I-E. So you can see the remaining black and white episodes from 1972, of which there are only about 30. And then we pick up with the colour episodes about halfway through the run. And you can actually watch this show now. It hasn't been on TV for 50 years. And I think it's so fantastic that it's back now, so that people who are curious about it and go, what do you mean it was the first in the world to do this? You can actually sit there and see it now. And I think you'll note that the show wasn't just pushing boundaries in terms of sexual things like that, but it was also a show that was very much about a different way of life in the 70s, when people were more formal and called each other Mr. and Mrs. McDonald instead of their first names, and people were smoking morning, noon and night 24/7.
Indoors. Not a vape in sight.
So there'll be a lot of comedy in that for you to watch.
Amazing.
It's a real time capsule of how Australia used to be.
Oh, amazing. Well, I know what I'm going to be doing after leaving the studios tonight. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, Andrew. I really appreciate your time. Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to reading your book. It'll be fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Have a great one. That was Andrew Mercado talking about some of his latest projects as a TV historian. Make sure you check out Andrew's podcast, TV Gold. What a gem. That was amazing. We're gonna